Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to listen to the Roman Show.
The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolfoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to romandh@yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolfoRoman.com. That's RodolfoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolfoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com, the official sponsor of the Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to countermove.com. That's countermove.com with a K.
You're listening to The Roman Show, the hottest radio sports program on the net. Call in live at 714-868-0222 or tweet us live at RomanDH. It's The Roman Show.
This is Booker T, 5-time WCW champion. Make sure you guys keep listening to The Roman Show, and I know you can dig that, sucker!
This is The Roman Show on November 13th, getting things started. And you heard Booker T there say sucka, while most of the Miami Marlins fans feels like suckas. As news just broke about a few hours ago, that the Miami Marlins have traded big top superstars from the roster to the Toronto Blue Jays. that means that out of the Martin's 25-man opening day 2012 roster, only guys that are going to return are, again, just so far, because nothing is written in stone yet, you know, their season hasn't even begun yet, so any of these guys could also leave. Giancarlo Stanton will be there, Logan Morrison, Ricky Nolasco, Dubs, Webb, Dunn, and Shake will remain on the squad, but Hanley Ramirez, obviously he was traded during the season, gone. Jose Reyes, gone. Josh Johnson, gone. It's just incredible. They got rid of all these guys that they were banking on to bring in all the fans, to hopefully bring in another championship. Sure, they spent all their money last season during the offseason. You got the new stadium, and here we are again. Sure, it was a failure this past season, and they got rid of Ozzie Guillen, but now they're getting rid of, like I said, Jose Reyes, Josh Johnson, Emilio Bonifacio, Mark Buehler, and John Buck. And who are we getting in return? Well, none other than the players such as shortstop Yunel Escobar and Adinia Echevarria. And, of course, more than likely, other quote-unquote top prospects, which we aren't any strangers of top prospects. I'll give you this, guys, Marlins and Marlins fan. In 2003, most of the guys that we had were all young. Young guys, didn't spend a lot of money. And yes, we did win the championship. But then guess what? We traded them. Dontrell Willis was traded. Miguel Cabrera was traded. Same thing in 97, Wayne Huizenga. 97, we got Sheffield, Bonilla, all these guys, Alou. Win a championship, boom, gone. And again, this year, fine. We didn't win anything. I guess business-wise, it makes some sort of sense. You got to make some space for your budget. But the only guy right now we have that we could really depend on is Giancarlo Stanton. And Giancarlo Stanton just tweeted soon after the news broke that he was pissed, plain and simple. That's what he tweeted. And he went ahead and changed his profile picture on Twitter from a Marlins jersey to being all dressed in black. So he's setting up a statement there with the Miami Marlins. I wanted to open up with that because we will get into detail with this breaking news that happened just a few hours ago here in Miami, Florida. Of course, we cover all the nation here as far as sports and entertainment, but wanted to open up with that because Twitter is blowing up right now. Hashtag boycott Gloria, hashtag Marlins stink. All of these things have been trending right now on Twitter. Everyone is voicing their opinion about Jose Reyes, Josh Johnson. It's just incredible how Miami fans are speaking about the issue, not only locally in Miami, but all over the country. Many folks saying to call in Major League Baseball offices and to protest the call. Again, this has been an agreement that both teams have come to. However, this is not written in stone, as the baseball commissioner's office must approve this. In fact, they even gave out the number here. Someone tweeted out the number and stated that to flood the commissioner's office and protest this thing. Now, I'm not in one way supporting this. It's up to you guys. But they gave out the number there to call out the commissioner's office, Major League Baseball, 212-931-7800, to voice your opinion. It's going to be a nice one here tonight, guys, on the Roman shows. We're going to talk some sports, some pro wrestling, and some movies, as we're going to have director Billy Corbin on the line of Raconteur. You might have more than likely have heard of him from the Cocaine Cowboys documentary 1 and 2, and the ESPN 30 for 30. Series there that has been very, very popular. He also produced The U in 2009, very popular documentary. In fact, one of the most watched documentaries seen on ESPN. The man is a local breed right here from Miami, Florida. Billy Corbin was actually born in Florida and a graduate of the University of Miami. He also produced an ESPN 30 for 30, Broke, which has definitely made a lot of big waves with the movie, as it looks into sports athletes after they're done with their career, and some of them are broke. And you can see some of his work during ESPN's 30 for 30 series. I believe some of them are actually on Netflix. And we're also going to talk to him about Dogfights. Dogfights is a documentary on West Terrain. Data 5000, a good friend of ours, the program here, has been on the show and has basically produced backyard fighting. And I'm talking about full-blooded, bare knuckles, no gloves, no nothing in the backyard. And this place gets packed. And these guys, Raconteur Films, went out there and shot the action, and they were working on the documentary. It was actually supposed to be released last year or this year. I don't know exactly what's going on. We're going to get to the bottom line of it tonight here. Billy Corbin is going to be on the line, is going to tell us if this thing, according to their website, is supposed to be now scheduled 2013. And then I saw that Data 5000 himself was producing one on his own. So we're going to get the word of this. Reached out to ESPN Magazine, Maxim. It's been all over the media. So we'll touch base with that. And again, we're going to talk about the Miami Marlins. We're going to obviously talk about our most top-rated section here on the program, Weird News. What's going on in the world of weirdness? And Nelly Guzman will also call in to let us know about the entertainment world. What is going on? I hear Selena Gomez and Jay Biebs are broken up. Who cares? I don't know, but it's entertainment news. But we're going to get things started here with Laughing with Felix. Felix, now you're from Miami. You're a comedian. What's your opinion on the Miami Marlins before we get started with your segment?
With the Miami Marlins?
That's right.
A horrible mistake. That's a horrible mistake. I mean, you're going to waste a lot of money on a brand new stadium and then get rid of your players. That's ridiculous. It's kind of suicide right there.
$560 million the ballpark cost. This was thanks to the Miami-Dade taxpayers. And I know this today we're talking a little bit more local here in Miami, and eventually we'll speak about national news. But that is how much Miami-Dade gave Miami Marlins, $560 million for the ballpark. It looks beautiful. I must say, did you ever get a chance to go, or have you gone already, Felix?
I'm actually more of a basketball fan, but the way I look at it, if we wasted so much money, and we gave our best players out, they should kind of like give some of that money back, or actually give a couple of free tickets and things to certain fans and players that actually participated in making that arena what it is.
No doubt about that, and it's funny because as soon as word got out that the Marlins have traded all these guys, they post up a picture of how the Miami Marlins ballpark has transformed itself into a soccer stadium or soccer park, because they're going to have soccer for the first time this Thursday.
Well, I've always thought about it, and it's always been full of soccer players, so yeah, I think that would be the next big thing.
It's a big SMH, though. That's what's going on right now on the world on Twitter, as everyone is voicing their opinion on the Miami Marlins, even Giancarlo Stanton himself, one of the star players of the Miami Marlins. Felix, what you got for us this week, man? Bring us some laughter.
Well, let's get a little personal. Yeah, since I make you guys laugh, I was thinking maybe you guys could get to know me. Hi, I'm Felix. I'm Cuban and Puerto Rican. So by my bloodline, I'm addicted to Cohibas and Bacardi. I'm the oldest of three, and I have a younger brother and a sister. But my sister's a lesbian, so now I'm the oldest of three brothers. I'm 5'5", I'm 300 pounds, so by the law of nature, that makes me fat. And let me tell you, it's not easy being fat. Ways to know that you're fat is that when you're serving yourself food, you're already in the third serving. You know you're fat when the logo on your Lacoste shirt is actually an 8-pound baby gator. You know you're fat because you're mad at Burger King for delivering. And not because they deliver. It's because no one else has picked up on it. Really, Ronald McDonald's? The King delivers, but you can't get Grimace or the Hamburglar or those 20 little chicken nuggets to get to deliver food from McDonald's? I'm also a father of three kids. All of them are girls. Dum, dum, dum. Lucky me, right? First baby. it's a girl. Okay, that's cool. Second baby, it's a girl. Oh, man. The third baby, I could care less. Oh, my God. People were thinking I was going crazy. I was praying to God. God, please, I want to see a penis. Please, let me see a penis. The third time the doctor come up, oh, it's a girl. No. Let me tell you something. Three girls is a lot like living in the episode of Walking Dead. You got boarded doors? Check. Electrical fence? Check. Shotgun? Check. Clear. I don't show them off like, yeah, hey, I have three daughters. I'm like, nah, I basically own three Shastri belts. But the good thing about this is that I know that at least when I go broke, guess what? When they're all over 18, daddy can open up a strip club. It's time to make daddy rich. And it sucks because I'm a collector of action figures. But it's hard to stop collecting action figures when you have three girls. Hey, look, the Stone Cold action figure is pretty cool. No, daddy, I want Dora. Look, this Hulk toy. Hulk smash. No, daddy, I want Dora. Fine, let's see if Dora or stupid map could take you home. They're a joy, but at the same time, they can be stressful. That's why we need to legalize weed already. I got fold ones. Hey, man, we're going green. Yes. Yes, let's go green. I got up early in the morning. I got in for like 6 hours. I did 7 other surveys. I gave a $10 donation. And at the end, I get this big green bag with a recycling sign on it. Thanks for going green. Wait, what? We're not legalizing weed? Hey, how about you take this big bag and you give me a little bag with some growing weed green in it? Nowadays, it's actually hard. For current events, the Black Call of Duty Black Ops 2 came out. That means the streets will be virgin-free. In sports, reverse psychology was taken wrong by the Florida Marlins when they decided, hey, you know what? If we get rid of all the good players, we could actually win. So that's it for me, guys. This has been Laughing with Felix. Roman.
Thanks so very much, man, and thanks for calling in again, Felix. And you can check him out on Facebook there. As far as some laughter, some jokes. Thanks so much, Felix. Till next time, next week, my man. All right, there you go. I've heard it there from Felix. He made us laugh a little bit about himself. Man, always pulling out some good jokes. But welcome again to the Roman Show, guys. You got lots to talk about. Just a few minutes, we're going to have Nanny Guzman, who's going to be talking to us about entertainment. But we opened up the show with a whole Marlins story, as they have traded top players such as Jose Reyes, Josh Johnson. Jose Reyes, of course, came in last year in the whole big signing spree they went. Josh Johnson has been with the team for some time. They kind of made him sort of like the somewhat of a franchise player with Tony Ramirez until they brought Jose Reyes, of course. Now they're trying to bring in, they're using Stanton as a franchise player. That's if he even sticks around. Rumors went out swirling that he was going to be traded to Baltimore, is that what they were saying? Of course, all these things are not written in stone. But, yeah, there's just a matter of seconds or minutes till they start saying that Giancarlo's going to be traded, as he even changed his Twitter profile. But that is the latest talk here, guys. Twitter's blowing up with the Miami Marlins tonight. It's just incredible. The news has reached the entire country. Everyone is just talking about it. This guy right here, Chuck Tudd, says, just sick of Miami sports being laughing stock when it is the entities who are also at fault, not the fans. Area deserves better. It's just amazing as they're voicing their opinion here. Again, the Miami Marlins, we opened up with a program talking about the trade. And from we're getting it from ESPN, the Marlins will be trading top players such as Jose Reyes, Buehler, and also Buck Catcher for Yunel Escobar, Adeni Echevarria, Henderson Alvarez, Justin Nicolino, Jake Marischnik, Jeff Mathis, Anthony DeSclafani. And again, you must forgive me if I'm mispronouncing the names, but that is the latest information that we have. Now, ESPN is reporting this, but however, it needs the okay from Major League Baseball. So it's not 100%, but it seems about 85%, you would say, that this thing is going to go down. If you want to voice your opinion, guys, and if you're a man in Florida, Call in 714-868-0222 is the number. 714-868-0222 is the number, as we are going to speak about this issue. And later on, we're going to speak with director Billy Corbin of Cocaine Cowboys and of Rockin' Tour. He has also been a director for the ESPN series of 30 for 30. It's a sad moment here in Miami, Florida, guys. Miami Marlins have basically traded in their entire squad of superstars, except for Giancarlo Stanton. Ricky Nolasco still there, Logan Morrison. Many folks already have gone bananas on Twitter saying to boycott the Marlins. How is this going to affect the attendance? Many people have said that the attendance hasn't even been all that good in the first place. This most definitely is going to put a huge dent on the attendance and the $560 million ballpark that the Miami-Dade taxpayers awarded the Marlins. Pretty sad stuff coming out of the Miami Marlins squad. And it seems that this didn't come from the top heads, but it came from the owner himself, Jeffrey Loebner. He was the one who made the move. They had to make some space for the budget, as most of these guys' salary was going to increase. You know, deals for Reyes and Buehler were both backloaded when will increase dramatically. So Reyes will go from earning $10 million next season to $22 million in each of the four remaining years on his contract, and he was signed for 5 years. Buehler is scheduled to make $11 million in 2013, $18 million in 2014, and $19 million in 2015. So, okay, business-wise, it makes sense considering the fact, okay, well, I had a good team, I had a whole bunch of big names, but they choked. So we got to recycle the team. And they've done this numerous times. They got rid of Ozzie Guillen, and now they got a new coach, Redmond, who will coach in the minor leagues. The Marlins are known for this. 97, as I stated, when Huizenga let go of the entire team after they won the championship. And what do we got in return, bums? In 2003, we won the championship. Heck, we fired pretty much everyone, or traded everyone. Miguel Cabrera, Dontrelle Willis, the list goes on and on. So it's pretty much of a trend with the Miami Marlins. We want to hear from you guys. 714-868-0222 is the number. Tweet us live at RomanH. Use hashtag RomanShow. We want to hear from you what you think about this whole trade of the Miami Marlins. And are you still going to go to the Marlins game? Personally, I went about, 19 times this season. I don't know what's going to happen now, to be honest. There are rumors that Alex Rodriguez was going to come down here. I don't think that's going to happen. Even if they do get Alex Rodriguez, he's not the same. You've seen the performance he has accomplished this past season in the Yankees. He's not the same Alex Rodriguez he was. Call in, guys, 714-868-0222. We will be talking entertainment, wrestling. Billy Corbin will be calling in just a few minutes. We'll be right back after the small commercial break.
Ho! Hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I'd like to listen to The Roman Show. Tough guy! Ho!
AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code RomanShow and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com, from Miami to the world.
Visit El Octagono for all the latest in MMA news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
Yo, high five. Yo, hey, monkey. It's me, DDP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, monkey, you're listening to The Roman Show. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Back at it again. By the way, guys, make sure you tune in tomorrow night, The Roman Show, at 9 p.m. We will be talking some mixed martial arts. We're going to have Carlos Condit, who fights this weekend, UFC 154 against George St. Pierre. We're also going to have Mike Rio, who will be making his UFC debut in December, local guy. And we're also going to have Daniel Strauss of Bellator, who is just waiting for his title shot. Eric Prindle of Bellator will also be calling in. And tomorrow, we're also going to give a pair of tickets to the MMA Expo, November 25th, at FAU in Boca Raton. Lots of stuff. All right, we're going to continue here with the Roman Show, but now we're going to go ahead and bring in Nelly Guzman, who's going to tell us what's going on in the world of entertainment before we bring in Billy Corbin, director of Cocaine Cowboys and so many other documentaries. What's up, Nelly? What you got for us this week?
Hey, I'm glad you waited till after the commercial break, because I don't know how I could live an experience after that Marlins game news. Ugh.
Yeah, we're all heartbroken here. What's up, Nelly? Enlighten us with some entertainment stuff. Nelly, you there? All right, we unfortunately lost Nelly, but she'll be calling in right back. She'll be telling us as far as entertainment news in the world. I don't know if you guys caught the whole Emo fiasco. The puppeteer got into some problems, and Nelly's going to explain to us with this whole...
Hello?
Puppeteer. Yeah, hey, Nelly, welcome again. We lost you there. I know you got some news there. You're going to talk to us a little bit about the whole Elmo scandal. The Elmo puppeteer being accused of molesting a child, but now the guy is saying that he's an adult?
Yeah, well, actually, breaking news, they actually updated it. First, he was accused of having a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old boy, but now... The accuser who had claimed those allegations canted his statement, admitting that he was an adult when they had their sexual relationships together. So I guess Elmo can stay on Sesame Street for now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
so
other news.
Hopefully he didn't molest Elmo, right?
I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to think about that. I think it was my childhood.
Go ahead.
Moving on, in other news, the funny man Cat Williams is known for his abusive jokes, but what about physical abuse? Well, his former assistant is suing the comedian for $5 million. Melissa Assange claims Williams went on a rage, punched her head, and knocked her down to the ground in October. The reason for Cat's attack is unknown, but if he's found guilty, something tells me he won't be laughing. $5 million. Oh, so she must be pretty weak
bucks.
Because honestly, I'm 4'11", and I feel like I could take on Cat Williams. But that's just
no. But what really surprises me, Nelly, is the guy smokes weed. He smokes marijuana. So you would see the guy is cool and relaxed and calm, right? Instead, he's just going on blatant attacks and getting angry. You better check his prescription there, Nelly.
I don't know. But anyways, also, there's a hit reality show, The Jersey Shore. We all know about that, and unfortunately, it's coming to an end. But MTV announced that Vinny Guadagnino is getting his own talk show. The Show with Vinny, which is the title of the show, will be a mix of his personal life along with him interviewing celebrities in between. But instead of it being held in some sort of fancy studio, Vinny will be interviewing the guests in the comfort of his Staten Island home. Ah, see, I don't know. It sounds like a little competition for the Roman Show. What do you think?
I don't know about that one. How about Vinny? Vinny from Jersey. I changed my accent. Nah, man, come on, man. Listen, dude, you're a reality star. Just move forward. Next. I don't even want to talk about that. Next.
Well, then next all we have is, you know, Rihanna and Chris Brown. There's always on again, off again. But they always tell us that their business is nobody's business. And that's what they're saying in their new duet together. Because Rihanna released a track list for her upcoming album, Unapologetic, and the list contains a collab with none other than Chris Breezy. So does this mean to rekindle their romance? No, not quite, because when they're asked, they both shoot down any dating rumors. Frankly, I feel like they need to stop teasing me with all these duets together and saying they want the cake, cake, cake. But that's just...
Yeah, every time that you read it, they're together, they're not together. Then they had a fight between Breezy and Drake at a club. Meek Mill apparently was involved. And it seems that all these three guys were involved with Rihanna at one point in their life. But Rihanna, stop teasing the people. If you like the guy, fine. I mean, hey, it's up to you if the past can return. But I don't know what's going on with Rihanna. I know some of these are going to be ticked off because, you know, what happened happened with Breezy. And he did assault her. And heck, if I was a woman, I wouldn't go back with the guy who hit me, right? But nonetheless, if they do rekindle their relationship, it wouldn't look good whatsoever for Rihanna. She wouldn't be a good role model in the first place for ladies. But Nelly, thanks very much for calling in. Until next week, Nelly Guzman, check her out on Facebook with our entertainment report. Thanks so very much, Nelly.
Thank you. Have a nice night.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and from Nelly, we're going to move on to director, Mr. Billy Corbin, on the line. How are you, Billy? Welcome so very much to the Roman Show and taking some time. It's a hot news here in Miami, Florida. Miami Marlins exploding in Twitter. Thanks so much, man. How are you doing?
Oh, I didn't hear about that. What happened with the Marlins?
Who doesn't know what's happening with the Marlins, right?
But, you know,
it's old news. It's really old news, Billy. It happened to us in 97. It happened to us in 03. What else is new?
And by the way, after an hour on Twitter, everything's old news. That's the thing. You get sick to death. Well, that's the other thing, too, is, I tweeted a lot of jokes. But the truth is, how is anybody genuinely shocked about this? You know, I mean, this is pretty much the M.O. of this owner. I mean, it's not dissimilar to what went down in Montreal. As you said, it's not dissimilar to what's happened before. Now, I don't know a lot. I'm not a big baseball fan. I'm very candid about that. Alfred Spellman, my producing partner, is a huge baseball fan, and he's pretty riled up about it. And I, you know, my position was, well, Alfred, the team had a losing season. There's no doubt about that. People were frustrated. They didn't get a lot of criticism for replacing Ozzie Guillen, which I don't know if that was a good move or not, but they, people were not that disturbed by that, not like they are right now. I understand why they're upset, but like I say, it's a losing season. Don't they need to rebuild? Don't they need to find a way to put a winning team together? That's usually what I err on the side of. I say, hey, listen, they're in the baseball business. I'm not in the baseball business. What do I know about building a better baseball team? It certainly doesn't seem like they did it this last season, so why not let them do those things? And I'm inclined to say that, but the truth is, what's the strategy here? They win a World Series, they dismantle the team. They lose, they dismantle the team. You know, it seems like Moneyball, but instead of using the money to win, they use the money to line their pockets. So it's a different kind of Moneyball. What's going on here? But I mean, it's the Miami Marlins. What do we really expect?
I don't know what to expect. You know, naming I forgot his name right now, but the gentleman who was suing before the whole Marlins, Brayman, filed a suit with the whole Marlins park, and people were like, ah, well, you know, in a way now it makes sense. You know, it's the third time, man. It's not the first time, second time, third time this happens. Business wise, you know, some folks are saying, fine, it makes sense. You had all this money. Some of these guys are going to be worth next season. They weren't performing as they were supposed to. I get that point. But what are you going to sell the fans now? You know, attendance wasn't as they expected. But what are you going to sell? Is Stanton there talking about that he's going to get traded? He even changed his Twitter profile from a Marlins jersey to all in black. So what does that tell you? What the heck is going on? It's going to happen now.
No, what are you saying? Go ahead.
No, and then one thing that's really shocking, and I don't know if you caught this, Billy, but about an hour or so after they announced the news, the Marlins Twitter account posted a picture about the soccer game they're going to have Thursday, saying that the Marlins Park is ready for the soccer game. Some people are just like, seriously, you have the guts to tweet this thing right now?
Hey, listen, they got to make some money over there. And you saw Darren Rovell tweeted that the Clevelanders, the bar, you know, the nightclub bar there at the Marlins Park has been hugely successful. So they're running a business. They're running a business over there. They got a sweetheart deal, to be modest about it, with the county and the city. And they're printing money over there. They make all the decisions, and they keep all of the money, and that's the way that it goes. I mean, all these people are coming out of the woodwork now on Twitter, suddenly thinking it's a bad idea for the county and city to publicly finance a baseball park. Well, no crap. Where the hell were these guys when Norman Braman was fighting for our right to vote on this contract in the first place? I mean, all these people who were just, how could they be shocked? It must be feigning incredulity right now, because it's so ludicrous. I mean, what did they think was going to happen here? And now they're calling for a boycott of Miami Marlins games. We've been doing that for years. Who the hell goes to a Miami Marlins game? And if you go to a Marlins game, people go, what do they say? They say, oh, the stadium's cool, they've got Wi-Fi. But what the hell are you doing fussing around on Wi-Fi at a baseball game for? No, it's the only thing you do while you're there. You go to the Bobblehead Museum or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, no doubt. $560 million, Miami-Dade taxpayers' pocket. And this is what we get. We get a minor league team with a minor league coach. And literally, that's what we're going to get this season after it was a bust last season, 2012. No, this season, 2012, they signed all these top players and they didn't even last a freaking season. And you know, Billy, we see this in sports sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't work out. Let's take the Heat, for example. Okay, they made it to the finals the first year, but they didn't get shocked. They're like, okay, let's tweak a little thing, and they gave it a shot the next season, and look, boom, they won the championship. And that's what the Marlins should have done. Instead of just saying, heck, you know, sell everything just like they always do. I don't know if it's because Lori is an art guy, an art guru. You know, he likes to trade things and makes money out of it. And as you mentioned, he had the whole experience with the Expos. I don't know what's going to happen with this stuff, but it's going to be interesting to know what's going to happen on that first baseball game at Marlins Park when they return in 2013. Who's going to remain on the squad is the important part. Because Stanton right now, as is mentioned, they were even saying that he might be even traded to Baltimore or Texas. They're already throwing out names.
Why would he want to stay here?
It makes sense, right? Right.
You know?
It's still early in the off season though. You know, there's still a lot of moves left to make, but it's difficult to not be cynical about this.
It's just a matter of time. I can't wait to what Jeffrey Loria or Dave Sampson have to say about this stuff. You know, I think now is when they should have had the Showtime series, because it would have made a whole lot better of a show than last season, if you ask me. Because I know they cut the series short, but heck, I would have continued this series right now. I would revisit this one, Billy. And Billy, let's talk about you. Thanks for joining us here. We'll talk a little bit about the basement. If you're on the line, please hold on. 714-868-0222 is the number. Billy, and I must ask you, because not too long ago I spoke to Dada 5000, well known down here, but what's going on with the dogfights with that whole backyard movie? Yeah, what's supposed to be released this year, and then I heard the year before. What's going on with that movie?
What happened was is that we did that project kind of on spec. We took it on by ourselves. You know, no one was financing it. No one, there was no network involved in it. And so we just went ahead and went there as kind of like an experiment. We shot one of Dada's backyard, you know, illegal, unsanctioned, bare-knuckle brawls in his mom's backyard in a 12-by-12 ring in West Bronx in Southwest Miami-Dade. And it's a pretty extraordinary event, but we didn't really know what we were going to do with it. Because, like I said, there was no buyer yet. And so what we did was we created this reel. It's about a 5-minute promotional reel just from that first week of shooting, where we interviewed a few fighters, and then we shot that one fight event in Dada's backyard. So, and we made the mistake, I'll say, of putting the reel online. And it kind of blew up and went viral among MMA fans. And it's still online right now, DAWG fight. And what happened was we had just started shooting. We didn't know what else we were going to shoot, how much longer we were going to go with it. Well, it turns out that we shot for another year and a half on that project, one of the longest production periods we've ever had on any project, needless to say. And we wound up shooting, I think, another three backyard fight events. And then we shot some events at the Hard Rock Live. At the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, because some of the fighters from the backyard, I won't give the ending away, but some of the fighters go pro, and so we continue to follow the story until we had a logical ending, because that's the thing is, when you're putting together a documentary like The U or Cocaine Cowboys, where you're documenting something that happened in the past, you know where it's going. You've got a beginning, a middle, and end, because all that stuff happened, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago already. So we had that advantage of knowing the story in advance. Here, we didn't know the story. We were just shooting it, what they call verite, which is just watching the story unfold before our eyes. So it wasn't until one of the fighters went pro and we kind of completed the story that we felt like, okay, we've got enough, we should finish it now. And then we had, at that point, thousands of hours of footage. Because we went to these backyard fighting events with like 9 or 10 cameras. We had incredible coverage of the fights and the crowds and all this stuff. And then we had to put it together into a coherent, you know, hour and 45 minute feature documentary. And we finally are finishing it right now. It took a while. But then in the meantime, by the way, when we started shooting that, we had all these other movies that we were contractually obligated to deliver, starting with The U, and then Square Group of the Godfathers of Ganja, and Limelight, and then Broke. So we had all these other projects that we had to finish, and so obviously they got priority. And now finally, we're finishing this up, but it came out so good, and I'm so happy with it, and I'm pretty sure it's scheduled for spring 2013. So it will be released in April.
Now, are we going to see this stuff? Because Dada, I had Dada here several times, and Dada's Dada. And he tells me that it was going to be showcased in theaters. But is this thing going to be in theaters? Is it going to be on ESPN? I know they had a little story on him on ESPN as well. Where can we see this stuff?
Yeah, well, Kenny, it's of course ESPN. Discovered Dada through our video that we put online. That was the original one that I was talking about way back when. That's how they found out about Dada. So that's why they did that E60 story on him. And we hope to do a theatrical release, but really what we want to do is we want to make sure, first and foremost, that fight fans, the people who are most interested in seeing the movie, are going to have an opportunity to see it quickly, because we'll likely do a film festival release. And what often happens with these film festival movies is they come out and you get a whole ton of publicity about it, and then people are reading about it online all over the world, and they're like, well, how the hell can I see this movie? I want to click a button and watch this movie right now. And then it disappears for months while you're strategizing a release. And then you had all this publicity in your film festival, and now months have gone by, and you're finally going to put it out in theaters, and you have to get people all excited about it again and generate that publicity all over again. So we're trying to do this smart and make sure that when the movie premieres at the film festival in the spring, in April, that people will read about it and be able to access it immediately. So whether that's released in theaters, video on demand, iTunes, whatever we can do to make sure that the people who hear about the movie and see the new trailers and the new video that we release online for it can get it right away. So that's what we're trying to figure out between now and then, the best strategy to make sure that everybody can access it. But it will be a release that everybody will be able to see one way or another, whether it's in theaters or immediate download. Hopefully you will hear about it and be able to see it.
Yeah, and Billy, when you say film festival, are we talking about the Miami Film Festival that takes place here during the spring?
No, we're not talking about that. This is going to be a larger International Film Festival in a larger, much larger media market than Miami, and I can't reveal it yet, but we'll release the information when we can.
Gotcha. And I mean, if you guys haven't seen it, you must go online on YouTube. It's out there. Dog DAWG fights. It's incredible. And I remember that Hard Rock event you were talking about, Billy. It was a Action Fight League, and I'm talking about what, 2-3 years ago, right? That took place.
Yeah, it was 2000. Yeah, something like that. About 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah, that a fight broke out actually between the corner men in that fight, and things were thrown inside the cage, and then I believe there was a fight in the locker room as well. Again, I don't want to give out too much stuff that I personally know because I want people to watch this movie. But I know there was a little scuffle that happened after the fight in the locker room, and it was funny because I spoke to Dada after 5,000. He had his hand broken, and the good thing about that is he was still able to make it to the after party, Billy. Can you believe that? With a broken hand. And we had a blast out there at the Hard Rock. But now, Billy, aside from dogfights, what else are you working on and that folks can know about some of your latest projects? I mean, you've had success with the U, Broke on ESPN. Great success there, success in that area. A lot of viewers tuning in to the U. You've done some stuff, man, that you definitely put Miami as far as the culture comes along. You've definitely done it on your end.
Oh, well, thanks. And we're with each project, like Broke, you know, took us out of Miami a little bit. Limelight did before that, took us to New York and looking at the world of the extraordinary nightclub industry in New York in the 1990s and how the ecstasy trade really helped to fuel it in much the same way that cocaine did with the disco business in the 70s and into the 80s. So we, every once in a while, we kind of sprout out of our hometown in Miami to tell other stories. And with Broke, I think we got a little bit bigger, a little bit more ambitious in terms of kind of taking on sports culture at large, and of course, how great many Americans view and approach their money and finances. And we're doing something equally as ambitious for the fall of 2013. It's a 4 1-hour miniseries for VH1 called tentatively titled "The Tanning of America: How Hip Hop Changed the World," based on a book by Steve Spout, who was in the hip-hop music business, and just at the right moment, you know, just before Napster blew up and kind of literally blew the recording industry out of the water, he left the music business and started a marketing, an advertising business that has become hugely successful, and he literally wrote the book on how the history of hip-hop culture and the lessons that he learned from it literally transformed America in terms of his theory is that a generation of Americans, really known as the millennials, grew up in a country where hip-hop was the predominant culture. It was American culture, hip-hop, through the 90s and early zeros. And what it did was it tanned the mental complexion of that generation. And so through the music and through the pop culture, the movies, the TV shows, et cetera, really what happened was it led to Barack Obama being elected. That's his theory, this idea that it raised a generation. And we all know that the youth vote, the minority vote, was huge in both 2008 and 2012 in electing Barack Obama. And so there's a lot of credence to it, and there's a lot of evidence to support it, and we've been interviewing some extraordinary people. This is our most star-studded project, I can tell you that. Visually, it's one of the most fascinating projects we've ever done, too, and it's the longest one we've ever done. So it's a really intriguing subject, and I think it's getting more ambitious. I'm hoping that, you know, Dogfight is another one of our local Miami projects, projects, and this next one's going to be even more ambitious. I like the ability of kind of moving back and forth. You know, we'll do one of our Miami-inspired pop docs, and then we'll go and do something a little bit more, you know, broad and big, and then go back and forth, I hope.
That is great stuff. So we're expecting this stuff on VH1 next year, no?
Yes, fall 2013.
That is great stuff. So you got a lot of work there coming out of your end. Now, Billy, what is it about Miami recently? You know, we've been on the news with the Miami Heat. Now, unfortunately, with the Miami Marlins, Rick Ross, Pitbull have helped Miami put us in another scale that we weren't on, say, 10 years ago. And you yourself as well as put us out there with your movies. I mean, you go back to the early 90s and 80s, just remembered us for Scarface. But what is it about Miami? Is Miami changing you being a Floridian?
No, Miami's exactly the same. It's now the skyline, perhaps. The skyline, perhaps, has changed. Demographically, we've been moving in exactly the direction that we should reasonably be moving in, which is where the rest of the country is going as well. You know, much more colorful, multicultural, leaning country and community. I mean, you know, you see that the trends that occur in Miami eventually impact the rest of the country, no matter what it is, whether it's the drug trends what happened in Miami in the 70s and 80s is very much like what's been happening out west with, the Mexican border states. We were essentially Florida was the border state with Colombia, really, in the cocaine war, just like, you know, Arizona and Texas and California with the drug war now out there. You look at the demographics of Miami and how, the Hispanic and Latin culture blew up in the community. Same thing is happening slowly in America. You look at trends in Medicare fraud, for example. That all originated in Miami and then spread out throughout the entire country to the point where law enforcement comes to Miami, to the FBI, et cetera, to learn from our law enforcement on the ground in Miami how to identify and combat Medicare fraud. And that goes time and again. You have three of the biggest Ponzi schemers in the history of the world, Bernie Madoff, Alan Stanford, Rothschild Rothstein. These are multi-billion-dollar Ponzi schemers, all operated out of South Florida some way or another. In fact, Charles Ponzi, the man who they named the Ponzi scheme for, the last place that he ever ran the scam was in Florida, was in Jacksonville and Tampa, before he got extradited back to Massachusetts and then deported to Italy. So it was literally where Charles Ponzi, the last place in America that he ran the scheme that would eventually be named for him, the Ponzi scheme. The line I go to, which is something I heard a long time ago and really rings true, is that Los Angeles is the place you go when you want to be somebody. New York's where you go when you are somebody. And Miami's where you go when you want to be somebody else. And that's always informed the community. And it certainly informs our work at our company, Rock and Tour, the idea that people are going there to escape something. And that the population, being so transient, is constantly transforming and looks different from year to year. And that we have no institutional memory as a result, and seem kind of doomed to repeat our mistakes and continue reelecting the same criminals in South Florida over and over and over again to public office. I mean, it's astounding how forgiving and permissive we seem to be down there, as they say, when the as long as the champagne bottles are popping and the checks are clearing, nobody asks a lot of questions in Miami. We're a very passive, laid-back people, except when we try. Then we're all a bunch of assholes, for whatever.
Well, you know, it was shocking, though, when we had that recall for the county mayor. That was pretty shocking that we invested so much money to recall Carlos Alvarez.
Yeah, well, that just goes to show you how pissed off people can be. They started to vote the way they drive, which turned out to be a good thing, that people could get that angry and that excited and that passionate about something that actually matters. That was the Marlins Stadium in great part. People were also pissed about him raising taxes, property taxes, him giving to his inner circle when everybody else was struggling. There was several factors there, but I think the most high profile of them was the public financing of the Marlins Stadium and the atrocious, atrocious deal that our public officials, our elected officials, negotiated on behalf of us. I mean, people just wanted to make a statement about where they stood on that, and he was a casualty of that. Now I hope that people will continue to vote, turn up at voting time, and start voting everybody else who's responsible out of office, and let's get some new blood in there. Let's get a generation of real Miamians. I mean, people who were born here and have stakes here and have an investment in the community. And that's what I started seeing. I remember a while back when I first got onto MySpace. You remember MySpace? That was a civilization ago, a social media civilization ago. But I remember when I first went on MySpace, I started to recognize this. On MySpace, you put your name, it had your age and your location, and then right there in that ID box, you could put like a personal quote that you wanted, anything you wanted, some sort of personal statement or quote or whatever it was. And I started to see a lot of people that would say like 305 till I die, or MIAO forever, or whatever it was. And it's funny, but what's interesting about it and compelling is that what it showed was that there was a generation of young people, particularly third generation Cubans, who were born in Miami. You know, because when you talk to older people in Miami and say, where are you from? They might have been in Miami for 60 years or 70 years, but they'll go Philadelphia, New York, Chicago. You know, everybody's from someplace else in Miami. But now you have people who, like, where are you from? They're like, Hialeah. Where are you from? Kendall. Where are you from? North Miami Beach. There are people who were born here who have a connection like that to the community. And I hope that people understand that Miami is a collective experience. We're all in this together. I know you're on the 836. I know it sucks. I know you're pissed. I know you're angry. But we're here too. We're all here together. It's a collective experience. Let's work on making it a better place together and not be a bunch of dicks to each other. I think that's really the message. It's like let's work together to make it better instead of honking and not using our turn signals. And, you know, it's like let's just – we're all living here. We all want it to be a better place. Let's do it.
No doubt about that. And we've seen that everywhere here in Miami, Florida. I mean – well, the last time you wake up in the morning and you encounter someone, say, on the street and they tell you good morning. That doesn't happen often here in Miami, Florida. I don't know if you can blame it on the weather. I don't know if it's just too hot out here, Billy, sometimes.
Well, I that's a bunch of BS. We've all got air conditioning in our cars. And unfortunately, semi-automatic weapons as well. That's another problem.
Yes. Billy, let's take a quick phone call here. I have a caller who's been waiting here for some time. Caller, you're on there on the Roman Show with Billy Corbin.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, how are you? You'd like to have a question for Billy?
Hey, Billy. Let me say this, man. I want to go back to the Miami Marlins real quick. I don't mean to change your guys' story, but I know you guys were on another subject at the moment. But reel back to this Miami Marlins. Do a little bit of homework on this guy that they hired to be the chief, Mike Redmond. It looks like the guy, I guess he played in Miami up until 2004 and most recently, he's catcher in 2010 with the Indians. And it looks like, you know, he's obviously been in the league for a while. And he's seen the show. He's been there. He's played in the show and whatnot, although his name doesn't come across as some kind of a superstar to me. You know, I guess the guy was born in, 71. So what's that make him, 41, 42?
Yeah, 40, 41, exactly.
So there's some young blood, you know, which I think is good to have somebody young that's got energy, fire, and passion. And I don't know, maybe this guy has some of that. I'm not sure. You know, I don't know the gentleman. But I think youth, influxing some youth into the situation, regardless of his experience as being a manager, if you will, you know, the man's played the game, so he's been around. You know, he's most recently played in 2010, so he's not too far removed from the big league. So which is good point also. But I think I'm optimistic there, coaching thing. just my two cents, and I don't know anything.
Well,
but what
at
I,
the risk
where,
of,
where I,
at the risk of being the glass half empty guy here, I think I also have to consider the fact that the ownership, the management of the team, not including Redmond, of course, I mean the front office, might not be interested in building a better baseball team. That this might all be, there might be some ulterior motives here at work in terms of what's going on there. This is just a possibility. It's strictly kind of an alternate theory to yours, looking at it very glass half full and very positively, that this is just some kind of move towards a sale, towards any number of things. Let your imagination run wild. But that's the other possibility that you can't escape right now, is that there's something else going on here other than just building a winning team with a great manager. And you're right, he might very well be just what the doctor ordered here. But will we ever really have a chance to find that out? That's what we'll have to see moving forward.
Well, you know, we go back maybe to George Eraldi. He was a young guy, he was a Yankee, he was a catcher, and he did pretty well for the Marlins team. You know, he did quite well. And well, he lasted just a season or two, and then they let him go. It seems there's always an issue with Loria that they just don't like him. Freddy Gonzalez, who was with the Marlins for a long time as well, he didn't get along with Jeffrey Loria. Boom, they kicked him out, and then, well, you know what happened with Ozzie Guillen. We've had, what, like 50 managers in the span of like 6 years? And I was shocked they didn't bring in Jack McKeon. And Jack McKeon, they bring him because, you know, he's old, and anything they say then goes. So he just follows directions, right?
Well, listen, I think that, you know, you've obviously hit the nail on the head in that the problem is not necessarily the team or the managers, but the problem remains the constant, the people who continue to be there despite this revolving door of managers and players. And again, I'd be inclined to give them the benefit of the doubt, but when you look at the track record and you consider that whether the manager is doing a good job or not, they always seem to go. Whether the team is winning a World Series or they have a losing season, they dismantle the team. And you know, so it doesn't seem to be a strategy that they can hang their hat on and say, well, no, this is what we're doing. This is the winning formula that we've employed in the past. It doesn't seem like that's the case.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm just puzzled. I mean, like I mentioned, Giraldi, he won National League Manager of the Year, and then you give him the boot just like that? I you're making me a lot of money here, and I'm just going to fire you. You know what? I just don't like you anymore.
Tonight,
it just makes no sense.
As I tweeted, tonight is the night that everybody in Miami gets to pretend that they care about baseball just so we can bitch about the Marlins. I think it brings the community together. It brings the community get together, so I'm all for it.
Billy, man, thanks so very much. You can catch Billy. He's very active on Twitter, at Billy Corbin. That's Corben. And check out – listen, I'm really looking forward to dogfights because I'm a big MMA fan. And – you know, unfortunately, I didn't get the opportunity to go see these backyard fights over there in West Bryan, although they had the, according to Zada, they had the last one, last month. But I heard that those things were
something
fixed.
Yeah, and he had a long hiatus before that. It got very risky for him to do the events because the state of Florida Boxing Commissioner cracked down on the events. And you see that happen in the movie. And so we really captured kind of the end of the era of the backyard fights in Prime. And you're not going to be disappointed with it. I mean, it's basically like – it's like an action movie, and the action scenes are real. The blood is real. The fists, the hits, the punches, the kicks, the blood, the tears, it's all real. And so I think you're going to be – you're going to be very pleased with the result.
I'm sure I will, man. I'm looking forward to it. Please invite us because I'd love to go see that in person. Again, I've just been counting down because I've had a lot of these fighters. I think it was Boom Boom and Bam Bam. We also had Rene Level Martinez who came out from there. I know that Kimbo and Dada don't really see eye to eye. So these are some of the guys that – and actually now some of them, and as you mentioned, have turned pro. Some of them actually have made a good name for themselves.
and they're making some pretty good money in the world
and
of mixed martial arts at the professional level.
I should say also that some of the stars of the backyard didn't live long enough to go pro, and that's a part of the story as well. Just the violence in the community and getting an understanding of why they're doing this, why they're fighting to try to make a better life for themselves and their families. You really get a sense of that as well in Dogfight.
Yeah, that's a very, very tragic stories in that. And I could just only imagine some of the stories that we're going to hear there about Dogfight. Billy, I had this one question here. A student just tweeted me. He wants to know, since the world of movies is getting difficult now with the internet and everyone pretty knows how to edit, how is it a good way to get your feet wet soon out of school, since jobs aren't really out there too many as far as coming out of school and being in film?
Well, it's a tough racket, tougher than ever. What's the irony is that these tools, these digital tools that have democratized the business, both digital video cameras on the production end, Final Cut Pro, nonlinear editing software on the post-production end, the internet on the distribution end. I mean, really all of these elements have made it so much easier to break in, but at the same time they have, as you observed, kind of depleted the revenue stream to the point where it's tougher to find a paying job. You've got to be a hustler. You've got to do your own thing. You've got to distinguish yourself as an independent producer, and that's what an independent producer is. They're a hustler. You've got to do something well. You got to find a good story and tell it well. That's what you got to do. And whatever, in whatever format, whatever style that is, if it's fiction, if it's nonfiction, you know, scripted or unscripted, if it's animation, if it's comedy, if it's action, whatever it is, you have to find a good story and you have to tell it well, and then you have to go out there and hustle. You have to show yourself. You know, there's no free ride. There's no free lunch. Nobody is going to sell you better than you sell yourself. So people who think that you're going to get, you know, signed with an agent or something and then you're gonna take off, it just doesn't happen that way. It never did, and it certainly doesn't anymore, if it ever did. So the most important thing is to identify what you do well, where your strengths are. You know, are you a good editor? Are you a good writer? Are you a good a director? Whatever it is, you're a good cinematographer. Wherever your strengths are, exploit those. Put together a team. You know, partner up with people who are good at the things that you might not be as good at. But most importantly, try to get good at as many different disciplines as you can. Meaning, I can shoot, I can edit, I can do some After Effects. I'm kind of a one man production machine. That's even better. That's imminently more employable. Not just in filmmaking, but in social media and broadcasting. But you have the ability to go on YouTube, take, watch videos, tutorials that will teach you how to get better at these things. You can download the software yourself and teach yourself on it, so you can start to improve. And really, that's what it is. You know, you have to find the business model now. How am I going to monetize these skills? And the best way to do that is to just do. Don't go to film school. Film school is a waste of money. It's a waste of money. If you're going to spend money going to film school, you might as well spend the money producing, doing, learning by actually doing something. I mean, you don't want to waste the money, obviously, but that's really what film school is anyway. It's a total waste of money. So find a good story, tell it well. And how do you do that? I say it's RAS, relevance, access, style. That's how you examine something. Is this relevant? Who gives a crap about it? I want to tell this story. I want to make a documentary. People come to me all the time, dude, and they're like, I have the greatest idea for a documentary ever. Or I have an idea for the greatest documentary. Usually they don't. Okay, so sometimes they do, but usually they don't. And how do you know? Is it relevant? Do people care about it? Is there an audience for this? I'm going to spend, in the case of Dogfight, years of my life working on this. Is anybody going to give a crap? Is anybody going to be interested in watching it when it's done? We made a calculation that, yes, if we continued to pursue this story and this project, there would be people like you who are excited about watching this movie when it's done. There is a demographic. There is a niche for this. Not everything has to be appealing on the level of Transformers or Star Wars or James Bond. It can be, they say, the niche makes you rich. So is it relevant? Will people care about it? Is there an audience for something? Is it not just a tree falling in the middle of a forest that doesn't make the sound? If I put it out, will people watch it? Will they pay to see it? Access. Access is the secret to life. Access to what? Access to anything. Access to financing, to money. Access to a story or to a script. Access to actors, equipment, locations, insurance, distribution. Access to anything. You know, but it's not what you know, it's who you know. Okay, and then the last thing, style. Style, you go to the same, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. How are you going to tell this story? Okay, Cocaine Cowboys. We got a story that we think is relevant. Why did we think it was relevant? Because at the time we came up with the idea for Cocaine Cowboys, the greatest selling video game of all time at that moment was Grand Theft Auto Vice City. All takes place in a Miami 1980s milieu. The biggest DVD ever at that point was the 20th anniversary edition of Scarface, which outsold, I think, E.T. and Jurassic Park combined on DVD for Universal Home Video when they released that. And then the Miami Vice movie had just been announced. Michael Mann was finally in pre-production on that. So nostalgia runs in 20-year cycles. So we're like, yeah, this is relevant. People would watch the real Scarface or the real Miami Vice about the drug trade in Miami in the 80s. So we said, that's relevant. Access. We had access to really interesting people, actual cocaine cowboys, who would tell us in the first person. For us in Raconteur, it's all about I and we, not they and he. You want to find the people who can say, I did this. This is what we did. So we had those guys. We had the most prolific hitman of the cocaine wars. We had one of the biggest cocaine smugglers, one of the biggest cocaine wholesalers to tell us their story in the first person on camera. So we had access. We had access to some financing. We had access to an incredible wealth of archival footage, you know, that old news footage that you see in Cocaine Cowboys and a lot of our movies. And then style. How are we going to tell this story in a unique way that was going to get the attention of the people watching it? And so we're kind of a slave to story at Raconteur. That's why we named the company Raconteur, which is a French word for one who tells stories with skill. So we said, well, it's cocaine, it's Miami, it's the 80s. Let's let the drug dictate the aesthetic. So instead of fading to black, we'll fade to white. Really fast dolly moves, really fast cutting. I think there's about 3 or 4 times the number of cuts in Cocaine Cowboys than you get in an average movie. And then what's the soundtrack? It's Jan Hammer, who did 4 years of music for Miami Vice. And so relevance, access, style.
Well, thank you so very much there, Billy. I'm sure you've opened up a lot of eyes on these youngins that are coming out of college.
You see, you don't got to go to film school. I just gave you your whole lesson right there.
There you go. And you got it for free on the Roman show. So send us a bill later. But you know what? It would be pretty interesting if you could probably do a documentary on this whole Marlins thing 3 times.
Oh.
Sell the teams.
Oh, man.
It would be pretty interesting.
Nobody watched Showtime, you know, with them. Why would anybody want to see that, you know?
Billy, thanks so much, and please keep us informed when the dogfight is coming out. Again, we want to definitely hype it up here in the program, as we have a lot of sports fans and a lot of MMA guys who want to see this thing, especially they might see themselves on this movie. So keep us informed when that movie is going to come out in 2013. All right, Billy?
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate you for coming on the show. Thank you so much. Well, there you go, Billy Corbin, director, ESPN 30 for 30, Cocaine Cowboys, on Miami, and sports teams and so forth. Great interview there, and you also got some information if you want to make it in the movie business. He just gave you some tip, man. You don't have to go to film school, as he stated. It's a waste of your money, is what he said. You got a free tip on making movies here on The Roman Show, and you don't even have to spend a dime. Not one penny. Sponsor The Roman Show. We'll be right back after the small commercial break. Caller, hang on the line. We'll be take your phone call shortly after the break.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Thanks.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolfoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/The Roman Show. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/The Roman Show. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolfoRoman.com. That's RodolfoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolfoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to countermove.com. That's countermove.com with a K.
AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code ROMANSHOW and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com, from Miami to the world.
Check it out. Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Hey, this is Dana White, the president of the UFC. Keep watching The Roman Show.
Alright, callers, hang on the line as we'll take some phone calls shortly, but I want to read some of these tweets going on. Again, Twitter has been blowing up with the Marlins trade, you got to read some of these tweets. One of them says, Marlins trade, breaking news, Marlins trade, fish behind home plate for player to be named later. That is one of the tweets mentioned here as far as tweet goes, and there's so much more. This one says a Triple A team playing in a major league stadium. Another person here says it's tough being a Marlins fan. I still go to the games and root for the team. I'm really disappointed to see Reyes and Bonnie go. All right, so this guy's definitely a supporter no matter what. Another tweet coming in here. I see I'm not the only Marlins fan that is heartbroken right now. Only winning or Jeffrey Loria's death can make me feel better. Ouch. Pretty rough there. And Pepe Villete. Guy, the puppet. Miami Dade owns 5-6 of Marlins Stadium. I don't think it's too far-fetched for 305 residents to petition to buy the Marlins, franchise. Would you really put the Marlins and the Miami invest on the Marlins franchise? I think that'd be a good question. I know, like, in Green Bay, they purchased the Green Bay Packers. But is the Marlins worth that much? Can the city purchase the Miami Marlins? And we get to choose the players that we want and don't have to sell the team? Call in 714-868-0222 is the number. As we heard from Billy Corbin, director of Cocaine Cowboys and several other documentaries, who had a lengthy conversation with us as far as the Miami Marlins, Miami itself, and of course his movies. But before we take in some phone calls, I want to read some of these strange news that we love to cover here on The Roman Show. And by the way, tomorrow night at 9 p.m., we will be back with MMA Talk. We're going to have Mike Rio, who will be debuting on the UFC in December. Also, we're going to have none other than Carlos Condit, who fights this Saturday against GSP. Last, we're going to have one title. So Condit puts his interim belt, GSP puts his belt, and we're going to unify it. And last, have a welterweight champion in the UFC this Saturday night, Carlos Condit. Tomorrow we'll be on the program, find out what he has to say about his fight against GSP. Also, Dan Strauss, who fights for Bellator, will be on. Eric Prindle, who fights for Bellator. And we're going to give away 3 pair of tickets to the MMA Expo February 25th. That's a week from next Sunday. Let's take a quick phone call here before we move forward. Caller, you are on the air in the Roman Show. Caller?
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, you're on the air in the Roman Show. Who am I speaking to?
This is Andre from Extreme Sports Picks. How you doing?
How are you riding yourself?
I'm doing good. We're talking about the Condit fight, right?
Actually, we're going to talk about that tomorrow, but sure, what's your opinion on the Condit fight? Many people say that GSP, there's no doubt he's going to win, but I think that a lot of people are underestimating Carlos Condit. The guy is a great fighter.
Actually, he's got a lot of heart, right? But he doesn't have the experience that GSP has. He doesn't have that he can be a good fighter, but I think he's going to panic because of it's kind of like the guys when you fight Mike Tyson, you know, everybody gets scared when you get into the ring. I think he's going to have that when he fights GSP, the intimidation.
I think we'll find out in the first 10 seconds if that's true. Because Carlos Condit, as I mentioned, is a great fighter. He's had some tough competition. And I think that tomorrow night you can listen to the interview, actually. Carlos Condit will be on the program tomorrow night at 9 p.m. And you'll be able to listen to his voice, his tone of voice, how confident he is. We had him here on the program as well in the past. And the guy is confident, man. He is not in no way, shape, or form getting intimidated by the name of Georges St-Pierre, how long he's held the belt for, and so forth, and his background. The guy is ready. But again, I honestly think that he can definitely bring it to GSP. Many people are really underestimating. They're already saying, oh, GSP until the next year. Don't underestimate Carlos Condit, because we know in MMA, anything can happen. So,
here's a good thing. Here's a good thing to look at. One thing I evaluate is the betting lines, right? You know, with the offshore, you know, because right, pretty much the betting line will tell you who's going to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Pierre being at minus 350. Okay,
uh-huh.
If I saw maybe like a minus 175, minus 150, then I can have some confidence that Condit has a chance. But with betting lines like that, it's not going to happen.
Well, Steve, you're right. Next Saturday, make sure you call us in next Tuesday or Wednesday and let us know if you're right or wrong, man.
Hey, uh-huh. But the main thing I want to talk about is this whole Miami issue.
Sure.
What the heck is Miami doing? You know?
That is a good question.
What's going on over there?
Well, you're calling from California, right? You're calling
from
California?
California.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Well, you know, here in Miami, Florida, I know in L.A. they had this whole big blockbuster deal with the Reds a while ago. But this must be second as far as big blockbuster trades in Miami. The Miami mm-hmm. Marlins have released Jose Reyes, Buehler, Buck, Josh Johnson, who's been with the program for some time. And in return, we get, well, not that much of big names. We also got rid of Hanley Ramirez during the course of this season. which made sense. Fine, he was kind of like a big bug. He was a virus of the team. Didn't get along with the other guys. Cocky, blah 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 blah. But what's going on? Well, business wise, it seems that Jeffrey Lurie and the Miami Marlins want to make some space for the money. You know, they didn't get as much fans as they anticipated. Sure, in the beginning of the season, they were doing well. The first 2 months, the second month, they did very well. Tennis started picking up. Some season tickets started going up. But then they realized, look, we were horrible. We had all these big names. We lined them up. We spent money as we said we did, but we didn't do anything with it. Let's start off fresh. Money-wise, it makes sense. As fans, what the heck are we going to get in return? You know, we don't have – right now all we have is Giancarlo Stanton, who is a stud. You know, he's still young. He's in his 20s, early 20s. So who knows what this guy's going to do. But we had this in 03. We had Miguel Cabrera. We had Dontrell Withers. We had Beckett, excuse me right now, the name right now, the picture they sent to Toronto as well, but he turned out to be a bust anyways. But we had all these great players, and then we get rid of them. In 97, Huizenga bought the team. You know, he thought it was a franchise. In 97, he had the team, and we win the championship. We had Gary Sheffield, Bonilla, Charles Johnson, all these great names. Boom, done, 98, they're all sold. So it seems like this is a trend here in Miami, especially with the Marlins. We buy big names.
Well, here's a good,
we win championships.
Remember, here's the positive.
And we sell it.
Remember this. Like, just like the Washington Nationals. Remember how crappy they were? And all of a sudden you get these mid-range players, right? Mm-hmm. Pitching came along. Baltimore Orioles, another good example. Good mid-range players. I think they're going to have to concentrate on picking up. Even the Oakland A's, they did the same thing when they made that movie.
Right.
They concentrate
on
mid-range players. Superstars, they fade. It's an ultimate fade. They always do it. Boston, a good example is Boston Red Sox, right?
Right. Right.
And
well, I mean, that's what happened with the 2003 team. You know, most of these guys, we didn't have big names. We had Jeff Conine. He's not no Alex Rodriguez. But that's what happened. And we do have a good farm system. There's no doubt. The Marlins have a great farm system. They really do. You know, these guys do know how to pick the young studs. I don't know for some reason here in Miami, Florida, we always get them young and good. And then guess what? We get rid of them. And then they become badasses. Take a look at Miguel Cabrera. The guy's a stud. He was a triple crown winner. I mean, it hasn't happened in I don't know how many years, centuries or years. I don't know what the heck it was. So it's a sad situation in Miami. I'm hoping to look at it in a positive light like you stated. I hope so. But I will tell you this. The fans are pissed off. Many people, although they haven't been to a game in a while, they're really not going to go to a game because they're going to feel like they're watching a bunch of AAA players. But, you know, it's something that's really touching us here. And as Billy Corbin stated, heck, it's uniting the community to talk about baseball, which is really often not talked about since we have now the Miami Heat. It used to be the Dolphins. They haven't won in a while. So that's all we got. But glad to hear your point of view over there in California, man.
Well, you know what I would do? If this is going to be the case about money, right? There's always good studs in AAA, even like Strasburg when they spotted him. You know, mm-hmm. I would concentrate on hitting the AAA side and bringing up a whole new box. With all that cash, you can buy some good players. The heavy hitters, the superstars, you know, they're already settled in with long contracts. Common players, you want to do away with the common players. You don't want common players on your team. A good high mid range team. You can get some. There's some young studs coming out of college. And I'll be buying some really good agents and scouts and be hitting these schools really quick.
Well, I hope so.
That's what I would do.
I hope so.
There's some good pitchers out there. You just got to go get them.
Oh yeah, right. And you know what?
So
don't be surprised if this season the Miami Marlins and it happened. Trust me, guys. If the Miami Marlins they have a better season than last year.
Oh, definitely. They can get a good team. All they got to do, get some money, get a scout, get about 100 scouts, send them out there, and just start recruiting. Find your heavy hitters, right? Just build a whole new team again. It's not that hard. It's got to be the coach as well, right? But you can make, all it takes is money. And you don't even need a lot of money. Because the Nationals is a good example, and the Orioles, you can do the same thing.
Yeah.
The Royals, another good example. Another crappy team that just built. And you can build. You know when you see a superstar out there.
I mean, Tampa Bay Rays are another team too. Yeah, Tampa Bay's another team just like that.
Just go
for
the hunt.
Contenders. Yep, they're always hunting.
That's what I would do. And I urge the coach and say, hey, you know what? Let's do this. Let's make a big change. You know, let's build some young studs. You know, let's be the Chippendales of the freaking baseball team. You know, like Lincecum, he was a superstar and he faded out. You know, you can build another one. It's not hard. All it takes is that motivation right there. You got to have that love. And if you can convince the fans why you're doing this, dude, your fans will back you 110%. You know what? We got to get rid of these guys. You know what? We're going to get some new blood. That's what it's all about.
Well, we're waiting.
You know, we're going to make this change.
Right. Well, thanks for calling, dude.
So,
make sure you listen in tomorrow for Carlos Condon, man. Thanks for calling in all the way from California.
Yeah,
we lost you there. Yeah, call in tomorrow, right? Same number, same time, 9 p.m.
I'll call tomorrow, talk to Condon. All right, bye.
Well, dude, thanks, man. So there you go, Jeffrey Loria. Take some advice here from one of our callers in California. Start hunting now, and hopefully your marketing team could market your new players and say, hey, you know, fresh faces, a new team. I don't know, new strategies, new opportunities. Maybe they should hire me for marketing. Hey, I want to read some weird news here before we move on to more calls here on the Roman Show. A suspicious husband used a GPS, check this out, guys, used a GPS capability on his wife's cell phone to find a 38-year-old teacher having sex with a 16-year-old boy. It turns out that Amy Nelly now faces a felony sexual assault charge after being arrested by Port St. Lucie, Florida police. After early Sunday morning. Now, WPBS reports that the boy was an exchange student living with Nelly and her husband at the time of the alleged assault. There's also another exchange student still taking up residence there, according to the station. There is no indication that Nelly, who teaches at Community Christian Academy, ever taught the student she accused of assaulting. Can you imagine that? By the way, she was released on bail, $15,000. 38-year-old woman having sex with a 16-year-old boy, husband found out thanks to her GPS and her cell phone. I wonder what that wife thinks about that cell phone provider. Peggy Ray didn't think twice when she stopped her car and ran into help victims of an accident on Interstate 5 near the Seattle suburb of Everett. She crawled through a broken window Saturday and helped stabilize a bleeding passenger and driver until emergency crew arrived to the rescue. The trapped in the partially submerged car. Beret told Como TV that when she returned to her vehicle, $900 had been taken away from her purse. Can you believe that? The lady was trying to be a good Samaritan, and when she turns around, boom, $900 taken away, just like that. Now, who says you're too old to be strong? Check this story out. In Russia, a 56-year-old woman attacked by a lone wolf. She killed a wolf with an axe. 56-year-old woman. The lone wolf attacked Aishit Makastova outside her sister's home in Russia province of Dagestan in North Caucasus Mountains. The animal bit the farmer on her arm and her leg, and she fell to the ground crying out for help from other villagers. No one was in earshot, so she reached for an axe she had brought along to repair a fence, and with remarkable aplomb, she hit the wolf over the head several times until his teeth unclenched. The wolf later died. A lot of guts from that lady. 56-year-old woman, killing a wolf with an axe. Lastly, this is very important, and you know, you see this stuff out here in Miami, you see this stuff all over the country, and callers, please stay online. We're going to get to your phone calls in just a few seconds here. You always got to watch where you're walking. A lot of folks on Twitter, hey, listen, I'll test it. I myself do it with myself. A lot of folks on Twitter and on Facebook and checking their emails and checking out some funny movies while they walk on their phones, but check what happened to this lady or this girl in California. As a teenage California girl searching for a cell phone signal to call her mother in a rural area outside San Diego inadvertently stepped into a nest of, get this, guys, rattlesnakes, and was bitten six times but survived. The 16-year-old spent 4 days in the intensive care unit of Sharp Grossman Hospital, and doctors gave her 24 vials of anti-venom after she was bitten by an adult rattlesnake and five young rattlers outside her uncle's home. Food for thought, guys. Watch out where you walk. And let's take a quick phone call here from the listeners on hold here on The Roman Show. Caller, you are on The Roman Show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mr. Roman.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, Mr. Roman, it's me, Stephen Gage. How dare you not know my phone number by now?
Oh, my bad. Well, Cage, what's up, man? What's on your mind? What's your opinion on the whole Marlins weird news, stuff that has happened here in The Roman Show, Billy Corbin?
Don't even get me started with the whole Marlins thing. I wanted to throw my phone at the darn computer when I was reading on that stuff. Like, personally, I consider myself a free agent when it comes to the fans currently right now, because I'm very disappointed with the whole Marlins trade. But as far as the Mr. Corbin is concerned, I came in a little late during the interview, but from what I understood, you know, he mentioned a lot of great points in his interview. So I have to give a big thumbs up to a lot of things that he was saying, especially when he was talking about the difference in the attitude of here in Miami, especially.
That's right, man. That's right. And Stevie Cage is the host here of Reality Show. You can check him out on Blog Talk Radio as well. What else is on your mind, Cage?
No, nothing. This week I'm actually taking a break. I'm here at a local Starbucks here in Miami, Florida, enjoying some coffee.
What's the word there in the Starbucks? Anyone, hopefully some of them are sports fans. Do you see anyone wearing a Marlins shirt or a Marlins cap?
No, not really. Everyone's here dressed up in long-sleeve shirts, studying, I guess, on their laptops, but I don't see no Marlins anyone.
I must say before I got it and went on the air live, I actually spotted a guy. I'm hoping that he wasn't aware of the news, but the guy was wearing a Marlins cap and a Marlins shirt. Either he's a diehard true fan or I don't know what's wrong with the guy.
Well, it's not the appropriate time
to wear that stuff right now.
Yeah, I would agree so. I wouldn't be surprised if right now a lot of people are burning Marlins jerseys right about now, because after we gave the Marlins everything, including a new stadium, a new logo, everything, they end up doing this to us. It kind of feels like they spit on the ground, you know, that we gave them. But hopefully they surprise us before the new baseball season starts.
Well, Cage, you like wrestling, and against Collar, hang on the line. We'll be getting to you soon. Since you like wrestling, I want to touch base quickly here on pro wrestling. It was noted that Stone Cold Steve Austin joined a satellite radio station and said, "The heck, he is ready to go. He's 100% fine. And if he were to wrestle again, he can do it." So you think we're going to see him in action at WrestleMania this coming year?
Well, he's been going back and forth, Mr. Roman, speaking on different radio programs or internet radio programs or what have you, or even magazines, saying that he's too hurt to enter a ring, but that he will return on his own terms. So I don't want to say no, but at the same time, I don't want to say yes. So a lot of people are requesting to see Austin versus Punk at WrestleMania, but time will tell, man. It depends on Austin's health, because you have to think about it. Austin is not at his prime anymore. He's gone through neck surgery. He's gone through knee surgery. He's gone through back surgery. The guy is not himself anymore. But then again, in the world of professional wrestling, Mr. Roman, and you could probably agree with me on this, in the world of professional wrestling, you can never say never, because WWE especially will always tend to surprise you with these different returns every single time.
That's right. And by the way, today marks 7 years.
Yep.
Former
it's
champion Eddie Guerrero passed away. He died
yep.
of a heart attack. So 7 years today that Eddie Guerrero passed away. Very respected guy in the business. Unfortunately, he lost his life at a very young age. And speaking of heart attacks, and this is the last segment of the news we're going to talk about as far as wrestling. And callers, please stay on the line. 714-868-0222 is the number. Last night during the Raw program, there was a mock of the heart attack that Jerry Lawler received about, what, 2 months ago? Yeah, 2 months ago, I believe.
Yeah,
it was. So
just about.
Paul Heyman mocked Jerry Lawler's heart attack. So some folks took this offense. They said that, heck, this is the reason why Linda McMahon, who ran for office and spent millions of dollars on her campaign, this is the reason why she did not win her campaign for the second time. And some of them found it very insulting, and in fact, some of them even turned off the TV when this happened. What's your take on this?
Listen, Mr. Roman, the point is that a lot of fans can complain about what happened last night, but they would still end up watching it. The whole point is that, yes, it's a foul move by the WWE. I'll give you that. But CM Punk is doing his job. He's a heel. He's a bad guy. He has to make you hate him. And on top of that, Jerry Lawler, he's a good guy. He has to, like, if people think that Jerry Lawler was not informed of this segment before it happened, then you're wrong, guys. You know, Jerry Lawler, of course, was very informed. And with Jerry's veteran status in the WWE, if he didn't feel comfortable about doing it, he wouldn't have gone forward with it. Think about it.
Right.
Do the math. So, and in the end, if Jerry Lawler accepted it and CM Punk said, I don't want to do this, that's kind of like a slap in the face of Jerry the King Lawler, where Jerry Lawler is a veteran, where CM Punk is just going with the flow. So I think everything was done perfectly well. I think CM Punk did his job. I think Jerry Lawler did his job. Was the subject foul? Yes. But guess what? It did its job, and that's why.
Okay.
You know,
right.
You know.
Okay, we
got to
get going. We have another caller on the line. But, yeah, tune into Cage, Reality Check. He'll be on next Tuesday at 9 p.m. and also at midnight, and then on Thursday. At 9 p.m.
Yep.
Thanks, kids, for calling in, man. Enjoy the coffee.
Hey, Facebook.com, Reality Check 1. Like us on Facebook next Tuesday. We're having Milo Beasley and Lindsay Dorado on our show. Enjoy, guys. Hey, thank you very much, Mr. Roman.
Okay, Cage. All right, moving on to another phone caller here on the Roman Show. Caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show. Hello.
What's up, Roman?
Hey, Craig. How's it going, man? So
good,
today,
man.
You called in during the Billy Corbin. What you think about the interview, man? Billy Corbin, great guy, huh?
Dude, look, that guy made your show. Of all the nights that I've actually listened to, you know, to your program, I have to say that this guy actually was probably the best one I've heard in some time. I just added him to my Twitter. In fact, I've heard of him before, but just I didn't know too much about him. But really appreciated what he had to say, and he had a lot of good feedback to throw out there, and anybody who's obviously interested in film and so on and so forth, you know, he's definitely a great person to have tuned into, just to, you know, listen to what his opinions were and his feedback. And the guy's great, man. I mean, you can't ask for better, no?
No, you can't. The guy was just great, and you know, it's great stuff that he mentioned that, hey, it's time to get some new blood. And I loved how he said that. What has changed in Miami in the last 20 or 10 years? Nothing. It's all the same. And as you said, you know, we're kind of trendsetters here. Drugs, you know, now you see it out in California. It happened here a long time ago. The whole Medicare fiasco going on here. That's been happening here. To get send some of the feds here to investigate that and get some practice here. Miami is a trendsetter, unfortunately, in a bad way, not a good way. You know, we're not setting trends in fashion. We're setting trends in other things, like selling teams and, you know, lying to fans that we're going to give them this and we're going to give them that. And then the next year you turn around and then you get, you know, Triple-A teams. That's Miami. But like you said, it's great what he said. Sure, it's not everything's not going right our way, but heck, it unites the community. And it sure is, because right now if you go on Twitter, That's all that people are talking about. Marlins this and Marlins that.
And you know, our town of Miami is not a baseball town, as you know, but you would think that it would have became a much bigger thing when they dropped that millions of dollar stadium in downtown. No, am I wrong?
You know, people thought that it was going to be for the better. Listen, I'm a big fan. I'll be honest. I love the Marlins. I've been a supporter since '92 when it didn't exist, but they had mentioned that the Marlins were going to come to fruition. And, 13, 14, because I love baseball. And I've been following them even when we had there was a strike and they had all these AAA guys replacing them. I think it was in 90. Oh, can't remember right now. Maybe it could be 98, 99. I think it was 98 or 99 that they had the AAA guys playing out there. I even went to one of those games. I've been a big fan. But listen, anytime three strikes and you're out. It's the three times already that the Marlins do this stuff for us. Once under William Huizenga and twice under Jeff Warrior. I mean, how much can we get lied to here? You know, you see it in Miami with the politicians, right? And now we're getting it in sports as well. I mean, thank goodness that the Miami Heat didn't sell their team. You know, at least we got them, right? I'm hopefully it lasts for a while, too. Because they were already talking that LeBron James is leaving Miami in 2015, 16. He's going to the Lakers, they said. So
yeah.
And mind you, that you know the Heat are still they haven't even begun the season, and they were saying that LeBron James was leaving the Heat in 2015 or 2016 or whenever Kobe Bryant retired. So I'm just hoping that at least we keep the Heat, because the Dolphins right now, as we speak, they ain't doing any better. Hopefully they improve come next season. You know, the team is young, so hopefully they do something. But that's the life we live here, man. It's Florida. It's sometimes we light at it, and we send trends, but not good trends, bad trends. I don't know about you, Craig, but I like to take set some trends, like fashion or something like that, instead of Medicare fraud and drugs.
True that. The thing that I actually wanted to make a comment on, and I don't know your opinion or thought, but it seems no matter if it's the Dolphins general manager or whether it's these clowns at the Miami Marlins head office that trade all the good players for literally nothing in return. This kind of concept of trading away your best wide receiver that you got,
right,
and really getting nothing of value that can help you in the current state of affairs that you're in, you've got nothing to show that you're going forward with the move you just made. I mean, granted, I mean, you know, I'm an optimist, but I see that Chuck, was it Lurie or whatnot? What do you say? The
whoever's
running the Marlins,
Jeffrey Lurie.
Yeah, he's.
And then
he's,
Ross with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Jeff Ross.
So they're one and these guys are one and the same. They're trading off good for bad or good for nothing, and it's kind of disheartening that you know I can see, you know, hey, making a couple of moves and trying to work to improve, but man, when you just saw that whole roster just fall apart and anybody who was any good disappear, I mean, it makes a fan go, hey man, should I bother even, you know, doing these season tickets, or should I sell them?
Right. I mean, the only reason the only excuse you got to go there is to go to the Clevelander they got and have some drinks. That's pretty much it. And heck, you don't even have to pay to go there. I think after the game is free. So that's a good excuse. Listen, I'd like to read some of these funny comments that they got going on. You know, the Herald reported this with an article, and then you know how people love to comment, and they're just funny. Some guy here says, Randy 167 says, nicest AAA stadium in baseball. Some guy here says, wow, are all those tax dollars gone to Canada? I think Gloria is trying to do his part at getting back at Obama. Between the Dolphins and the Hurricanes playing like garbage, and now I have to hear this, my gosh, how much more can a South Florida fan take? And, of course, this guy's optimistic. He says, you know, at least we got the Keith. And then here we go. Keith Segment says, yeah, until LeBron opts out after 2014, and they will suck again, too. So there we go, guys. According to the people, you have like two more years to enjoy the Heat. Then we're going to go back and get and just have lousy, crappy teams here in Florida. Some guys actually here, shut up with your negativity. Braun ain't going nowhere. That's what guys are saying. Yeah, right. They owe Miami-Dade $4 million. Who has who? And so much. I mean,
you know, I'd be curious to go right now. I don't know. I don't think we're that much of crazy, crazy sports fans, but I'd be curious to see if anyone is out at the Marlins Stadium. You know, is anyone out there at the ballpark ticked off? Because, you know, Craig, during the Ozzie Guillen thing, when he said that he supported or he respects Castro, you had all these Cubans out there protesting.
Yeah.
There was a handful, but whatever, it's something, right?
Why isn't there anyone right now, any
sports fan, instead of blasting people off on Twitter, and if you really want to say something, why don't you go in Marlins Stadium and put a sign or something and say, heck, you know, we're not for this. We protest. Sure, you went on Twitter and say, hey, call the commissioner, but why don't you do it physically, man?
I want to see if people show up there tomorrow. I'd be really interested to take a drive by there tomorrow just to see if what you just said holds up and there will be a few people out there maybe having a word to say.
Yeah. What's going on? Jim Rome is out tweeting about this. Jim Rome. Have to love the Marlins moving into an embarrassing but brand new Major League ballpark and filling it up with AAAers just a year later. That is what Jim Rome is saying. Now, again, you know, I don't know if Dan Le Batard, I'm crossing my fingers, but they were mentioning that he might be, I think Jeffrey Lurie or Dave Sampson might be on his show tomorrow. So you know that's going to have a lot of ratings because everyone wants to hear their excuse. And it, you know, Craig, I can tell you right now, it's going to be plain and simple. We just weren't performing what we were supposed to. We had to sell the team. We had to get new guys. We had to change. That's basically what it is. But listen, here's what LeBron said when they all got together and created the Big Three. You can't build Rome in one day. And that's what happened. You can't quit,
man. True. Hey, now you had an earlier caller that I suggested to give you a call. I don't know if you caught who he was or where he was from, but he actually from California. You heard a company called ExtremeSportsPicks.com. They're all over the internet right now. And anyway, that was Andre, the owner, and a friend of mine. I had him give a call to your show. They're really trying to get the Extreme Sports Picks up off the map, but looks like you know they're going places and starting to push. And I told him about your show, and he was rather impressed. He was listening for a while before he called in there, so it was pretty good, man.
Great, man. Yeah, we'll be in contact with them. We'll definitely be in contact with them. Well, Craig, we got to wrap up the show. Thanks for listening, man, and we'll be in talk. Thanks so much for calling in, Craig. Always a pleasure.
You got
man.
It, brother. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, man. Thank you. All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in for the Roman Show. Again, we appreciate for our guest, Billy Corbin, who joined us, director of ESPN's 30 for 30. And also for all our callers and all the tweets and all the messages, and hopefully we can get a response from the Miami Marlins office to see why the heck they did this and what are the Marlins fans going to do. And heck, if you're out there, Marlins ballpark tomorrow, and you happen to see some people, like this happened during the whole Ozzie Guillen thing, they were out there, Cubans were out there protesting. But if you are a strong diehard fan and you're out there tomorrow voicing your opinion, please tweet us some pictures at RomanDH. Use hashtag RomanShow. And guys, tomorrow, Carlos Condit, Dan Strauss, Mike Rio, Eric Prindle will all be on the Roman Show starting at 9 p.m. Same link, blogtalkradio.com, Rodolfo Roman. If you happen to miss the interview with Billy Corbin, make sure you check it out, RodolfoRoman.com. Follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. Use hashtag RomanShow. Thanks so very much for listening in, guys. We appreciate it. Have a good night. And I hope the Martins make us proud somehow. Good night, guys.
WWE superstar John Cena. Keep listening to The Roman Show. If you don't, I'll check the phone book. I'll find you. It'll get weird with these. Weird.